Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I wouldn't touch the Patriots with a 10-foot pole.
What now?
The team isn't very good anymore.
Good plays are good, and plays that aren't so good aren't so good.
Dale Arnold.
Tim, you reached that out, right?
Yes, sir.
I think you got in.
I did.
That's a touchdown. That holding!
Yeah, he tackles on it. Come on, man.
Rich Keefe.
Here's what's cool. Being yourself and being cool with yourself.
Stop talking when I'm talking! Shut up!
Chill with the bad talk.
Dale and Keith with Andy Hart.
Got a big nut under there?
Mom's spaghetti, as Eminem would say.
And he would
right
say.
Right on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart, WEEI.com, is in the house with us. Before we talk about what Teddy Bruschi said and the perceptions of where the Patriots are, did you see the Patriots just announced their all-dynasty team?
Yeah,
and Andy Hart, over the last 20 years.
Andy Hart had a very cynical take on it.
Well, there probably could be a number of cynical takes from Andy Hart. One in particular?
My first reaction is, so the dynasty's over.
They're calling it right now.
You picked the all-dynasty
team. It's dead.
The dynasty is over.
No, it's not. Bill's still here. It goes on. They're going to be in the AFC Championship.
So what are we going to put out, the all-dynasty team part two? The extended cut?
Extended cut, yeah.
What are we doing
here? I don't
know
why we're rushing to this. I don't know
why. Why is the dynasty over? You know why? Because they agree with Teddy Bruschi.
Well, that may be true, too.
Part of Teddy
and not you.
Teddy Bruschi's
they don't agree with you.
They
clearly don't. Because they don't think they're going to the AFC title game.
They clearly do not.
They have two tight ends on the all-dynasty team, Rob Gronkowski and Daniel Graham.
I would have
gone with it.
I would have gone probably Hernandez there.
I wouldn't have. Well, first of all, I don't think he played long enough. But second of all, I can see where they wouldn't go near that one.
No, I mean, but is that the reason why? Or
I don't think he played long enough.
He wasn't even honorable mention.
Well, pass is dropped by Jermaine Wiggins, the tight end.
Because we did our tight end draft a while ago. I mean, Daniel Graham was here for 5 years, and do you remember anything about it?
Good blocker.
Okay, there you go.
And Josh liked to run end arounds to him. He was the rare tight end, and he was a true tight end.
No, you're right.
He was not a wide receiver
tight end.
He was a true tight end, Josh liked to run end arounds to
him. I would have gone Fourier over Graham. I would have gone Hernandez and Fourier over Graham and Wiggy over Graham. Not even serious. I'm not even kidding.
Well, Steven Guskowski was
10 catches in the Snow Bowl and setting up the
so
game.
So one game gets you in?
Two games. Setting up the field goal?
I mean, I respect and like Jermaine Wiggins' game. He was not as good as Daniel
Jonas
Graham.
Gray should you be think, the running back then.
Wait, do you guys think
guy
Daniel
had
Graham,
200 yards.
Do you guys think Daniel Graham was good?
Good.
Yeah, I think he was pretty good.
Good.
Oh, God.
Good.
God, what a
not
low
great
bar. So you must think
he'd
Ryan
be
Izzo's
a Hall
good
of Famer on this team. Ryan
if you
Izzo
look at the all 22 there.
Yeah. Ryan Izzo cannot carry Daniel Graham's jock.
What's the most catches you think Daniel Graham had in a season?
31.
38.
Ooh,
that is a high.
And he was a dominant blocker. He was a true tight end.
All right, Dwayne Allen could block.
How many years will Ryan Izzo have to play till he gets to 38 catches?
38.
By the way, Andy, they did have a fullback on this team.
And if it's not Devlin, then I'm quitting.
His name is James Devlin.
You're damn right.
Sam Gash was just before the dynasty.
Unanimous.
Could not be him.
Unanimous. James Devlin.
The three running backs on the team are Corey Dillon, Kevin Falk, and James White.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah, I do too.
Where else would you go?
I was never a big LeGarrette Blount fan, but he was, two Super Bowls and had a pile of touchdowns. But
yeah.
I'm not. I never liked LeGarrette Blount.
Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis had a 1,000-yard season. Ridley had a 1,000-yard season.
Sony Michel helped you win a Super Bowl.
He did.
Some would say.
The three outside linebackers on this team are Willie McGinnis, Mike Vrabel, and Greg Hill co-host Rob Ninkovich.
Wow.
There you go. So that's a longevity one, right? Because wouldn't you say like Chandler Jones was a better player?
Chandler Jones did not even get an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Jerod Mayo did.
Well, he's a coach now, so you got to put him on the list.
Oh, he was an inside linebacker, too. The three inside linebackers are Teddy Bruschi, Dante Hightower, and Roman Pfeiffer.
Good for Pfeiffer getting the love.
I love Pfeiffer.
Was awesome.
I loved him.
So I have no problem with Pfeiffer on there. A bit of a surprise. I think most people would have expected Mayo over Pfeiffer, but that's a nice blast from the past.
Well, plus defensive Mayo didn't line. Win.
What?
Mayo didn't win.
No, I know.
Yeah.
So some of this, I don't know, fair or not. But
well, that's the same with Hernandez.
Right. But if you're talking about a dynasty team, like you're a dynasty because you won.
Right.
So you're going to put a guy on a dynasty team who didn't really win? Like it's
weird.
That's
true.
Your defensive line's pretty good. Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, and Vince Wilfork.
Well, the best part is those guys all played together and they were dominant together.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, what could have been if you had your three best D linemen? Oh, you did. They were all first round picks and they were all great.
That was back in the day where Bill took a first round pick. The guy was going to be either a Pro Bowler or a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Absolutely hit.
Cornerbacks, Ty Law, Asante Samuel, Stephon Gilmore.
I would have, again, I know it's 1 year. I would have gone Revis. Revis was better than Samuel.
He wasn't.
Darrell Revis? Yes,
he played
he was.
Like. He 10 was, good games, maybe. Because he wasn't good at the beginning of the year.
Revis?
They didn't settle in until Browner came, and then they all kind of found that. He was great at the end of the year.
If Asante Samuel had a certain catch, maybe I would have him on
that. That would be different.
Super fan. Okay, yeah, I am.
Save it for when you're with Fitzy. You two can do that act together.
All right, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Safeties, Rodney Harrison, Patrick Chung, Devin McCourty.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Kind of hard to argue with that. And they gave Lawyer the honorable mention.
They did.
I was
going to
say,
stint.
I like Lawyer Malloy over Patrick Chung, but Chung obviously was a part of
and
so
plus,
many of this
Lawyer
season.
Was only no, one was Super Bowl.
Right.
It's
right.
The one and then two
the
and
first
then gone.
One. Still my
it
favorite.
It was the first one.
Yeah.
And they were my favorite.
It was. It's my favorite Super Bowl.
You had one wide receiver who was honorable mention. That was Danny Amendola. Here are the four wide receivers who made it. Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Troy Brown.
Yeah, I don't know where else you'd
I
go.
I don't know how you'd argue
it's
with any
to
of those.
Argue with
That's
any
it.
Of I mean,
nope.
David Givens, I would say, was a good player early in the dynasty, postseason guy. Remember he had that streak where he caught like
he's great.
A touchdown pass every playoff game for a while.
But that's an example where you have two guys there that didn't win. You know, it's a dynasty, but two guys that didn't win a Super Bowl.
Did he not get honorable mention?
Who?
Givens? He should get honorable
mention. Givens
he did
probably
not.
Should, yeah.
He should be honorable mention.
He was not.
I don't care for the list.
Well,
you're out on the list.
Yep. The
Paul Perillo probably put it together.
Probably.
I won't go through all the offensive linemen. Dan Copen is the only center, by the way. Adam Vinatieri is the kicker. Steven Guskowski was honorable mention. Punt returner, Julian Edelman. Special teamers, Matthew Slater and Larry Izzo. They actually have two long snappers.
Oh, my God.
That's embarrassing.
Two.
That is so
That's embarrassing.
Pathetic.
They have Lonnie Paxton and Joe Cardona.
Pick one. Pick a guy. You can't have two long snappers.
Right.
That is insane.
It's Lonnie. I mean.
Yes, put him on
there. The Snow Angels, the whole thing, the shtick. It's Lonnie.
That is really stupid.
And I like Joe Cardona.
You can't put
this isn't a shot at
him. Put him on the honorable mention list. It's not
right.
like you
like
had.
Like you did with the kickers. You only had two kickers. So you put one on the team and one on honorable mention.
How can you have one center and two long snappers?
Now, if you really get into the weeds here, maybe one was better at field goals and one was better at
I
punts.
I don't care. I'm not getting into the weeds. I
really
that is so
Tony La Russa
stupid.
Specialization here. We have two long snappers.
The second setter, David Andrews, was an honorable mention, but
I could,
only one on
you
the
could
team.
Make an argument for Troy Brown on punt returner too. I think Edelman was great at it.
Oh,
it
is, I would have Troy Brown.
Brown had
you don't
more
win
memorable
in 01
ones.
Without Troy
right.
Brown the returner.
I would have had Brown there.
Kickoff returners, which don't matter anymore.
No,
Bethel Johnson and Ellis Hobbs.
Yeah,
back when you could have kickoff.
Ellis
returners.
Hobbs had that one. What was it? 109 yards or whatever. Like
right in the back
sick.
Of the end zone. Yeah. And Bethel Johnson was big.
Super fast.
He would have big ones.
Cordell Patterson had a good year when he was here doing that.
And he's still good at it.
He
mentioned,
is still
Dale,
good.
That it doesn't matter. I was watching a Bears game the other day.
Oh, the Bears run him out.
As a fan, you're still like, you hold your breath for a second when Patterson brings it out of the end zone.
He
he's still
there.
And don't you, as soon as the tackle is made, don't you go, okay, minus seven. Okay, plus four. I mean, you always
you
at
do
25
the
yard line.
Yeah, but my point is, when Gunner takes it out,
side of it.
When Gunner takes it out, I don't even. I'm still
don't
getting
do this
food,
anymore.
Or I'm going to the bathroom. If Patterson takes it out, you could be seeing a play.
Yeah, you could for sure.
I guess I will mention the other offensive linemen. Tackles: Matt Light, Sebastian Vollmer, Nate Solder.
Yep,
it's such wussing out though.
Why take
there's three of them?
I don't understand why you have three.
I know it's hard, but if you're going to go through the effort to say the dynasty is over and anoint a team,
it means a lot more.
Pick two. And especially when you have an honorable mention list, feel free, put the other guy on the
honorable mention. Your right. guards are Logan Mankins, Joe Andruzzi, and Joe Tooney.
We have like 18 guys on the field. We're going to get penalized every play.
They want to honor everybody.
They had two guards honorable mention, Stephen Neal and Shaq Mason.
I love Stephen Neal.
Stephen Neal's great.
He does not get enough credit, recognition, notoriety.
Uh-huh.
So did I read, as we skimmed, this is a new exhibit, too? A Dynasty exhibit?
Ooh.
Is that what that is?
I think it's part of a Patriots Hall of Fame Dynasty exhibit and the all-Dynasty team. But again, the negative part of me says, well, I guess Brady left and we decided the Dynasty was over.
How many? I wonder what Belichick thinks of this.
How many of these guys did Belichick trade? There's like 12 of these guys that he traded away. What up and down the list. It's great.
Seymour, Wilfork, McGinnis, Vrabel.
Plenty of guys.
Some he tried to trade. And they,
some of them, Rob Gronkowski said, said no thanks.
Malloy, he didn't trade, but he cut.
Vrabel, he traded.
Wes Welker.
No, they just didn't re-sign him, right?
But there were all contentious.
Kind of similar.
You know, how many of these guys feuded with Belichick?
Because
then you can add in Ty Law. Now they love him, though. They come back, hey, what's up, Bill? And they go to those red jacket ceremonies and they just sit around and tell stories.
Yeah, my only problem with the list is it's just I would trim it down a little bit. Have like a real lineup. Have an offense, like an 11-man offense, 11-man defense.
Especially if you're going to actually have honorable mention because you have your out. Put a couple guys on honorable mention. But don't have three guards, three tackles, two long snappers.
Joe Cardona. That's the only reason why I think Bill actually had something to do with the list. It's because Joe Cardona made the team.
We got to get the Navy guy on it. I mean, come on. Put the Navy
I wonder if Bill thinks, as Andy said, so you're telling me the dynasty's over? I mean, Bill might have had the exact same reaction you did, Andy, where he's saying, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's weird because it's not a all-decade team. It's really the last two-decade
teams. Right.
Or it's like the under Bill Belichick team, but he's like, well, I'm not done.
Right.
I'm still Bill.
By the way, he was the head coach on this team.
Good.
He did.
Glad he was
did
able
they have
to,
coordinators?
To win that.
They did not. They only had a head coach.
Would have been good.
Coordinators would have been good. You got to pick an offensive coordinator.
Josh.
Charlie.
Ooh, you got Charlie. You like Charlie
I like
better.
Charlie. Yep.
Okay, DC. Rack.
Rack.
Definitely Rack.
Yep, for sure.
Although, Flo.
He's good.
Flo had technicality. He wasn't
even
coordinator.
A coordinator.
Sorry, you're not eligible, Flo.
Yep.
So the question, if in fact the dynasty is over... And I think it is.
Is Edelman the only guy? No, Edelman and James White.
Still on the team?
McCourty. Edelman, James White, McCourty.
Joe Tooney.
Stephon Gilmore.
Gilmore. All right, my bad. Sorry. I just did a quick look at it. So, they've got five or six guys.
Do you think Belichick prints this out and puts it in the locker room? And it's he just made their own bulletin board material, like next to the Brewski tweet, maybe?
Just so you know, the dynasty's dead. You know how I know? The team put out a release.
Our own marketing department.
But congratulations, Joe. You made it. You're the second, one of the two best long snappers over the last 20 years.
And Tooney, you guys, you know, have to rotate at guard. And tackle,
too. The fact of the matter is, I do think it's dead. I think when you still have the best coach of all time, but you no longer have the best quarterback of all time, and I might make an argument, you don't have a top half of the NFL quarterback right now.
No.
And I think that's
played
what
like it, but I still think he can get up there. And I think, you know, when Walsh and Montana were gone in San Francisco, now I know you went to Steve Young, but the point is, you went to Seifert and Steve Young, and you held on to it for a couple of years. And you actually won a Super Bowl with Steve Young, and then you were a playoff team for a little bit. Well, then Mariucci came in, and then it was over. It wasn't as dramatic as like the Cowboys. The Cowboys were great, and then they were gone. You're like, oh, that's kind of it for the Cowboys. Where you still have Bill, and they
if your preseason prediction was right, and this team's in the AFC Championship game, then the dynasty's not done.
Correct.
Well, last year they lost in the wild card round,
and it isn't very good anymore.
Yeah, but that's different. That was the clear part of the dynasty because there was no, it was Brady, Belichick, Kraft,
roots
of it. Now you still have Kraft and Belichick.
Right.
Brady's gone. So there is that inclination to just kind of close the door because the quarterback changed. But
I think Bill, and again, until they, so if they go this year and miss the playoffs, then you're right. It's done. If the Bills are now the division winner, all right, it's done. But if they still win the division, even if they don't win the Super Bowl, it's like, okay, this continuation, Bill has missed the playoffs twice since 2001, and both of those other years, they actually had the best record.
Right.
They just lost
in
a tiebreaker, and one of the
years
didn't have Brady. So it would still all be a part of that. I don't think it's over until you miss the playoffs.
Teddy Bruschi was on OMF earlier this week. He's a regular weekly visitor. And they talked about the fact, because Adam Schefter reported that Antonio Brown comes off his suspension in a couple of weeks, that the Seattle Seahawks are interested, confirmed by Pete Carroll, by the way, but that other teams were interested as well. And they asked Teddy about the possibility of an Antonio Brown 2.0.
I'm telling you, if I'm Antonio Brown, I wouldn't touch the Patriots with a 10-foot pole. And I say that because this team isn't very good anymore. You got a quarterback now that, I mean, I got to be open for him to get me. Or do I go to Cam? Or let's see, maybe Russell Wilson that can put the ball in a place where I barely have to move my hand. What quarterback would I rather play for? This team isn't very good anymore.
They're not good anymore.
This team isn't very good anymore.
They're not good anymore.
Okay, and we got it, John.
So, but that's my question with it, is if your whole point is Russell Wilson's better than Cam Newton, like, great.
Yep.
Thanks for coming on, and NFL
and
expert.
And the team's better, too, despite their defensive deficiencies. But
that's also not what he said. If he said Russell's better, Seattle's better, okay, no argument. You said the Pats aren't good anymore.
Right.
That's the takeaway.
And I would agree with him.
Like, and in you general, agree with him, Dale agrees with
like
him.
Like, if you're just but then, like but Joe Average fan, who are the good teams in the NFL? But then, it's going to take a while before you list the Patriots, if you list them at all.
Update to the story, Bruschi backed up on that and said, that's me talking for Antonio Brown, which I would say is a risky proposition.
Well, he clearly did, though, in the audio. He's talking as Antonio Brown. You know, do I want to go to Cam or do I want to go to Russell Wilson, who's going to put the ball right in my hands? He was clearly talking as Antonio
Brown.
But
he also clearly said the Patriots aren't good anymore.
Right. But we did the same thing last week. Like, Dale, you and I know, said it for word for word. If I'm Le'Veon Bell, I go to the Chiefs where it's fun.
Right.
Because that, I believe that. Even though I said, if I'm Le'Veon Bell, you clearly, the person speaking, the Dale Arnolds or the Indy Hart, believes the Chiefs are fun. They have a good quarterback. They have a good offense, a good scheme, that it makes sense. So whether he said, I'm talking for Antonio Brown, I think Teddy Bruschi believes the Patriots are not one of the best teams anymore.
I think
not
he does,
a good
too.
Team.
Now, if you look at his Twitter, he doesn't. And maybe they have to ask him point blank, are they good next week? Maybe that's what they'll do.
And what does that mean, though? We even have the out. Like, Keyshawn told us a couple weeks ago, I still have the Patriots in my top nine or whatever he said. Like, okay, well, where's the cutoff from good to
but
not
in
good?
The, like, I think good teams make the playoffs. That's what I would say. Great teams win the Super Bowl. Good teams make the playoffs. I think that... We're talking about Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, also a different argument. Nobody's saying the Patriots, I'm not saying the Patriots are the best team or that Cam Newton's the best quarterback.
Where
I also didn't say they're not good.
Rich, whichever team makes the playoffs in the NFC East still sucks.
Right.
Okay. Well,
like, we talked
East
about Jags, Bills
different.
A couple years ago. They weren't good teams. They made the playoffs. I don't think there's 14 good teams.
Yeah, but I would say they're not
some of those
great.
Teams make the playoffs.
Well, this year with the expanded field, maybe it's a little bit different. But if the Patriots win the division, I think they're a good team.
If they win the division, now they're not like the 14 or 13 seed.
I think they
earn
their
higher.
They earn their
but
way in.
Dale's pointing him. Somebody's going to win the NFC East.
Yeah, but that's not
and somebody's
going to
win
though.
The NFC East with six wins.
It's,
maybe.
Well, see,
they're
we say that, but more likely it'll even out to be seven or eight wins.
Right.
But we also have the issue, like, if the Patriots win the East, is it just because everybody else stinks? Like, Tua could fall on his face. They made the decision to go to a rookie quarterback.
Well, I think
that could take the Dolphins out of
no,
they're 3-3. They're in the hunt. They could easily be out of the hunt with a rookie quarterback.
But I think both
and you
of those
think,
teams could be 8-8. I think the Bills could be 8-8.
So are the Bills a good team?
Yeah, they're probably right on that line. They are a good gatekeeper. If you're better than the Bills, you're good. If you're worse than the Bills, you're not.
So they are actually the Mendoza line.
They are. I would say so.
Okay, because I mean, I think the Bills are a better team. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to beat you twice or win the division. Stuff happens, and there's a lot that goes into it. But I also don't necessarily think because you make the playoffs, you're a good team.
Okay.
I think there are legitimate playoff teams, and then there's somewhere there's a line where you go, they're really not that
well,
good.
Well, that's what I think.
Well,
like,
it's the difference between a playoff team and a championship contender. And the championship contender group has about four names on it.
And we'll get there in our weekly every 4 weeks Super Bowl contenders.
We have more than four teams on that list.
Well, our list is can win a Super Bowl.
Do you think when the playoffs start, you will think all 14 teams can win a Super Bowl?
No.
I don't think so either.
No, I think
it'll be down to, like Dale
four.
Said, four, five, depending.
It'll be two in the AFC, two in the NFC. And you know, and right now you could probably pick you might have three in the AFC.
You might have
Tennessee, Baltimore, and Kansas City.
You guys had eight in the AFC.
How about Pittsburgh?
Last 13
exactly.
total.
So these, I mean, those,
no, but
those
now
teams
we're
are all good.
Now we're not picking. Could they win if sort of everything goes right?
Right.
Now we're saying our legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Like I would say, Pittsburgh is trying to talk their way into the conversation. I think the Ravens, Chiefs, Titans
are obvious.
They're on
Pittsburgh. Did Pittsburgh talk their way in? Are they playing their way into that conversation?
I mean, smacking the Browns around.
You guys still have the Patriots in there, too.
I know we did.
No.
Give me a couple.
These guys are so sour on the Pats now, all of a sudden.
You're going to be sour in a week.
Well, if they get smacked by the Niners.
Who has the better quarterback on Sunday?
I think the Patriots have a better quarterback.
I don't think Garoppolo's that good.
Yeah, yes. I don't think Garoppolo's that good. I don't know why people think Garoppolo's any good.
I don't think Cam Newton's that good.
He may not be. I think Garoppolo might make even worse decisions. So and they, he has a
at least Cam Newton doesn't throw interceptions with his eyes closed.
No, he throws them with them.
He
open.
just throws them right straight to people.
Either way, I mean they're probably pretty close. But if I had to take one, I would take Cam Newton. Still,
are they both top half quarterbacks?
Like maybe 15, 16. You know what I mean? Like they're probably similar to the Bills. Like they're kind of right in the middle.
The Mendoza line of quarterbacks.
They probably are. And it was funny because we had Curran on yesterday, asking him about Jimmy Garoppolo and kind of like, you know, now that we've seen a good amount of games with him in San Francisco, and he compared him to a lot of guys that throw the ball well but make bad decisions, like Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield. He threw Wentz and even Deshaun Watson, which I thought was kind of low for Watson. But anyway, like guys like that who can make some of the throws, but also do stupid stuff and turn it over, and that's kind of how I view Garoppolo. I don't think it's any like huge loss that he's gone.
If the 49ers cut bait with Garoppolo at the end of the season, and there's some thought that they might do that, by the way.
Yep.
Do you want him back here?
Nah.
I think he's better than Cam, but we also get into he's not good enough. Curran's right. He's not good enough to carry an offense. So if you put him out there with, you know, Damier Bird and Ryan Izzo, you're setting him up to fail. Like he's porked.
Like he needs a George Kittle and he needs the Kyle Shanahan running attack. Like those guys that and well, he had
but
a great
all
defense
those guys
last year.
Do. All those
a
guys
lot of them
do.
Yeah, you're right.
Like they need a weapons around them.
Yeah.
You and I were talking off air. One of the best things that Mike Lombardi has ever said, in my opinion, is when he breaks down quarterbacks.
Football genius.
Yep. And a gridiron quarterback raider, gridiron genius, whatever it is, genius. I'm just going to call him a genius. He's I like this quote.
Okay.
They're really. Ever is only like three great quarterbacks in the NFL at a time. And then that next tier fluctuates. They're good. They have talent. And then depending on their scheme, their talent around them.
Like Aaron Rodgers is always in that second group.
Well, no, I think
he's rarely in the great.
Oh, no, I think Aaron Rodgers
is
always
in the great.
No, I think right now you have
Mahomes,
you have to be in more than one Super Bowl to be a great.
See, no, I don't think that.
I disagree.
No, I think you.
Dan Marino didn't even win one, let alone who's on
I don't really give a shit.
And Marino was always great.
The great quarterbacks have you in the hunt every year. They make more with less. They like whatever. But the others, like Jimmy, like I think Deshaun Watson's very much overrated. I think I'm with Curran on that. I think he's a middle tier. He does weird things. He frustrates me. He does the thing where he starts to scramble, puts the ball down to lean on it, then runs in a circle, then runs the other way. Not productive. You look cool. You're athletic.
He does look
but
cool.
You've done nothing productive to help me win a football game when you've done that.
He looks pretty cool.
And,
well, the narrative here is Bill screwed up. He should have kept Jimmy. And I think that's totally false.
No, then
I don't think
to
many
me,
people feel that way.
He's screwed up.
I've read it a number of times already because he's coming to town this week.
The only thing
with Tom Brady, you went to two Super Bowls and you won one.
It's inarguable, in my opinion, that he screwed up. Now the details you can argue, but he
what he got. You
no,
could
no, no.
Say.
I don't even care about that.
Oh, I do.
If I said Team A, the greatest coach of all time believes Team A has the best quarterback room in the NFL, and then 3 years later. He has one of the worst quarterback rooms in the NFL, and the guys he had are now Super Bowl contenders for other teams. Somehow you screwed that up. Whether you should have kept Jimmy and said, Tom, I know you're mad about the Super Bowl, goodbye, enjoy, or whether you should have kept Tom, but kept Tom in a way that Tom wanted to be here long term, somehow bungled the whole thing.
I still disagree.
Where you got no quarterbacks.
Because if you kept Jimmy Garoppolo, do you win multiple Super Bowls? Probably not.
No.
You won one with Tom Brady.
But wait, how do you
know? 2 years.
Because Jimmy Garoppolo was in the prime of his career.
Oh, I don't know for sure.
I'm not talking about past Super Bowls. That's fine. You can tell me he wasn't ready.
You wouldn't have won.
You're not going to win any right now with any quarterback on your roster.
You wouldn't have won in 18, though. And I'll take that Super Bowl.
So you don't want to be good long term.
Why can't you?
Because you've bungled the quarterback position.
But would
you have traded 10 years of Garoppolo for a Super Bowl?
No.
I would not have. I would not have traded.
Super Bowl is the ultimate be-all, end-all. I would rather have the Super Bowl. You even say every day, if you're either a Super Bowl contender or be the top pick in the draft, why would you even want to make the playoffs? With Jimmy Garoppolo, you probably make the playoffs for 8 out of 10 years, maybe, with Belichick, right? But I don't think you win that Super Bowl, and you did in 18, so that was worth it. And, oh, by the way, Cam Newton might be pretty good. He played awful against the Broncos, and he based it all off the Broncos.
But you just said he's not as good as Jimmy, or they're the same middling quarterback.
Better.
They're 15 and 16, or 16 and 17, or whatever.
The San Francisco 49ers, I don't even think, want Jimmy Garoppolo long term. I don't think Shanahan even trusts him. So I think they're going
to
be looking for a quarterback,
which is why
too.
I think he may be available
and
to you
next year. If you got rid of Brady, and then you committed to Jimmy Garoppolo, and 3 years into it, you're like, shoot.
Now
we might have to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. Now you're chasing a quarterback again, and you don't have that Super Bowl.
I actually think the 49ers had the opportunity to replicate the Belichick mistake in some ways this offseason? Because their similarity would have been, Jimmy, you're out. Brady, come sign with us.
Oh, they probably should have.
And then Brady leaves after this year, and you don't have Jimmy, and you don't have Brady, and you don't have a quarterback. But and your window is closed.
Yeah.
You closed your window. That's what I think Bill did. He wanted to extend the window. I just don't know how you can let both guys leave. Like, you played it so you don't have a quarterback. And some of that's on Brady. I don't completely, but you made a scenario where Brady didn't want to be here.
I think your argument's a lot stronger if it was Stidham and Hoyer this year. I think Cam Newton, coming off his worst game, doesn't help the argument right now. But I think Cam Newton actually gave you a real quarterback, whereas you're right, you almost went from Brady Garoppolo to nothing, but you didn't. You got Cam Newton right now.
See, I believe they have arguably one of the worst quarterback rooms in the NFL, or situations, or whatever you want.
I don't.
They have no hope.
Oh, Cam.
What's the hope?
Cam.
Right. The guy that suddenly, everybody said his mechanics were fixed 2 weeks ago, now everybody's like, boy, his mechanics look terrible. That guy can't throw. Is he hurt? He stinks.
I'm not super
worried. He can't read a defense. He doesn't even know when guys are open.
You see, and more than mechanics, what's driving me nuts is decision making.
But he's always.
I think you'd have that with Jimmy too, though.
But watching Cam, he always seems to be a second late.
But you know, that I can at least argue he hasn't practiced. He's only been here for X number of weeks. They didn't play preseason games. Knocking off the rust, all of those things. I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt. But you know my feeling. We did our quarterback list when he arrived. I thought he was 22.
I don't think
he's that good. I think he can run.
By the way, do you remember?
Higher than that.
Yeah, okay.
Significantly higher than that, I would say. High teens, probably.
Yeah, that's it. That's just it, teens. So I'm not going to get all like worked up like, oh my God, you could have the 19th or the 14th best quarterback in the league. Like,
but
all right.
You have the 14th or 15th, and what are you going to do with him?
With Garoppolo?
That's also the question. No, with Newton.
Oh, with Newton.
Are you giving him a franchise tag next year? Because his salary is going to go up, correct?
It's
unlikely you're going to get him for another 1 year.
But you could sign him to a 3-year deal.
Four.
But it depends on how he plays.
And you want him.
I do, yeah, because what's the alternative right now?
That's my point. There is no alternative. So you've put yourself in a you can't win situation. Because I don't think you're going to win.
Matt Ryan, right?
You could ask I've heard that. I read that on the internet.
Matt Ryan.
Wow, wait, you could give up a first-round draft pick and get something that is a known commodity? Wow.
There's also this thing called the draft where you can get a young quarterback.
Oh, here we go.
I think we might want a tank.
Yeah.
We might want a tank if we want a quarterback.
I would rather have...
You don't need a tank to get a quarterback.
Who's the fourth best quarterback in this draft?
Why does it have to be the fourth?
Well, because the top three are going to go high.
You can't trade up. Under your scenario, they're going to be 6 and 10.
And
you're probably going to have to pick.
Who are these teams that are drafting quarterbacks outside of Trevor Lawrence? We know Trevor Lawrence is probably going to go number one. Who are these other teams that are going to be taking quarterbacks?
I have no idea. I would assume the Washington football
team.
I would assume the Jaguars. I would assume all the crappy teams that don't have quarterback.
You're going to assume?
I mean, you don't think the Redskins are going to draft a quarterback? You don't think the Jaguars are going to draft a quarterback?
Washington football team?
Strike that.
I would rather have one of these first-round picks than Jimmy Garoppolo. I'd rather have Cam Newton than Jimmy Garoppolo. I'd rather have Matt Ryan than Jimmy Garoppolo. I'd rather have Carson Wentz than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Would you say the same thing about Cam Newton?
I just said I'd rather have Cam Newton than Garoppolo.
But would you rather have all those guys than Cam Newton? Or is Cam Newton your quarterback? I guess that's the question.
You
believe you have a quarterback.
Yeah.
I believe the Patriots do not have a quarterback.
Right. And that's where it comes down to.
Bill said we have the best quarterback situation in football.
Right.
A couple of years later, he had no quarterback in my assessment.
But it wasn't sustainable. Like he said, we have the best quarterback situation right now. There's no way you were going to have it for the next 5 years. It was impossible.
One of those
guys was going to have to go. And the reason why I said it was the best room is because he had multiple guys. Right. Most teams barely
had three starting quarterbacks in his room, and now he has none.
There you go.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart, and it's time to trend.
Michael Irvin joins Dale and Keefe tomorrow at 1. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, the Patriots released their all-dynasty team where they had two long snappers. That was the big takeaway I had. Lonnie Paxton and Joe Cardona.
One fullback.
Devlin! Oh, you know who we didn't mention? And Matt on Twitter reminds me. The wide receivers for the all-dynasty team were Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, and Troy Brown.
And Amendola was honorable mention.
Deion Branch, not mentioned.
No.
Super Bowl MVP.
It happens.
It's a dynasty.
Shouldn't have left.
I would have maybe...
What'd Bill do with him?
Traded him.
Traded another guy. But then brought him back.
He traded about half this list, though, so that's not really a determining factor. Pats were on the practice field yesterday getting set for Sunday's game against the 49ers. James White was absent but not injury-related. David Andrews, Bo Allen, Josh Uche were all back at practice. Shaq Mason, Derek Rivers, Byron Cowart have all been removed from the reserve COVID list. Pats place offensive lineman Jermaine Illuminor on IR. Week 7 in the NFL kicks off tonight. The 1-5 Giants visit the 1-4-1 Philadelphia Eagles. You can listen to the game right here on WEEI starting at 8.
Let me just recap that. Two teams are playing a primetime game tonight, and they've combined for how many wins?
Two. Ooh, two wins?
Got to set the DVR. And that could be an instant classic.
Thanks for coming, Philly.
Exactly.
Anything else on?
Ravens are signing wide receiver Dez Bryant to their practice squad. Rays beat the Dodgers 6-4 in Game 2 of the World Series, evening it up at a game apiece. Game 3 is tomorrow. You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker. Just say, play WEEI, powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Trending is brought to you by Horizon Beverage Company. Heineken is giving you the chance to win a million. Look for the code on your Heineken holiday bottle and text HOLIDAY to 77000 for a chance to win $1 million. Must be 21 plus. Visit Heineken.com for details. Enjoy responsibly. Heineken, USA, White Plains, New York. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart. God Complex, I Am God on WEEI.
All right, let's get some calls with you guys at 617-779-7937 as we talk about the Patriots and the path to greatness or the path to sell-off. If they did lose the next two, San Francisco and Buffalo, I would definitely consider selling things off at that point.
At that point, you're goosed and porked. My whole
You got to beat some of the other teams. If we're getting the capital to get up to get a quarterback,
you have to start winning games, too.
I don't want to win games.
I have my mind on the playoffs.
What's the point?
But my whole thing hinges on Buffalo. You got to beat Buffalo. If you don't, then.
Ryan's in Amherst. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
What's up, Ryan? Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Hello?
Yeah, hi, Ryan.
Hey, sorry. No, I just wanted to talk about Damir Bird. You guys touched on him earlier. I mean, you guys labeled him the deep threat, but I don't really think that's why he's on his team. And I agree, N'Keal Harry is, I mean, God, awful. But I think Damir Bird's a great addition to this team. He's, I mean, in my opinion, our best receiver. He's not playing in the role he should be. He's a 3 or 4, but he's been running great 10 outs and comebacks. And, I mean, like, if you look at his stats, I believe he has somewhere around 25, 26, 27 targets this year, and 17 of them are for first downs.
I think he's performed admirably. The problem we have is what's your team like if he's your best wide receiver?
Exactly. Somebody's going to catch the ball. By the way,
it's 17 catches, 10 of which are first downs. He does have 26 targets, but right. I think that's the caller kind of summed it up nicely. He's like, yeah, like I like Damir Bird. He's been their best receiver, but he's probably a 3 or 4.
Was Rishay Caldwell good?
He was not.
Okay, so he caught, 50 passes, because somebody catches passes. Somebody has to catch passes. You're going to throw the ball X number of times. You're an NFL team, right?
Like Bird.
We're not Georgia Tech or Navy or one of these teams that's going to run it every flipping play. You have to throw it. Somebody's going to be targeted. They might even catch it.
He reminds me of Philip Dorsett, and that's neither a compliment
nor a burn. That's not a good thing, is it?
No, it's not. It's neither. Yeah. It's what it is.
He's a slight upgrade.
Now, Philip Dorsett was a first-round pick, so he's more labeled a bust. Damir Bird had a different route to the NFL.
Right,
but still, it's just the guy who, you're right, he's open. He'll make the catch. He'll make the plays. He's not going to, make a defensive back look silly or anything like that, but he's going to make the plays that are there, and you need guys like that in your offense. The problem is he can't be your top guy, and so far he has been.
Bob's in Brimfield. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
How you doing, guys? Hey, first thing, I'm not buying the no-practice thing for poor quarterback play Sunday, because you don't practice, don't take a sack in field goal range, and don't take a sack on second and short to make it third and long. That's just an intelligence thing. You can't practice that. And that being said, with Ryan Fitzpatrick riding the pine in Miami, you make a play for him to light a little fire under the quarterback situation.
Oh, I like the way you think, Bob.
How about that? I don't think they would trade in the division.
And it would
you.
Finish his AFC East roundup, right?
He'd complete everybody then.
Oh, that'd be
the
good.
Grand
Go
slam,
get him.
They call it.
He's not happy. Call Flo and be like, listen, you got a borderline issue there. Why don't you come to me? We'll send you Hoyer. You send us Fitzpatrick. You need a veteran backup. Good soldier to work with Tua. Bob, you are a caller genius.
No, I don't like that.
Well done, Bob.
I don't like it.
Why?
I think you're kind of sink or swim with Cam. I'm not bringing it in.
Pressure wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Cam, what is he, just the sacred cow? Cam, it's your job.
You don't
bow
think he
down.
Has any pressure? He's got a one-year deal for like $1 million. He's got plenty of pressure on himself.
He looked like he was under pressure the other day, and he did not react well.
The O-line didn't help him out.
No, they didn't. Some of it was on him, but I'm with Bob a little bit there. Like,
some of it's decision-making that's not practice.
Some of it is
like,
not.
For a 10-year pro, I'm with him.
For example,
right.
Remember the Hoyer mistake? And he's like, yeah, Josh told me no bad plays here. Like, so, like, he was coached, and he just, he is Brian Hoyer, and he did what he did. I don't know that you can fix everything that ailed Cam Newton in that game with a couple days on the practice field.
I'll be curious, you know, we all will, obviously, how he performs this weekend. If he throws the ball better than we've seen him throw in every game but Seattle, then I'm okay. If he's throwing the ball the same way that he has in every game but Seattle, if he's throwing for 150 yards and a touchdown, maybe, maybe not. I don't love what we're seeing in that regard, because I'm with Andy on this, Rich. This day and age, if you can't throw the football in the NFL, you can't win.
And we're going to overreact on Monday, right? Either everything's okay. Look, they had practice, and they went up 21-0, and they cruised, and they controlled the game and all that, or Cam stinks.
Like, did you think Josh Allen could throw the ball last season?
I mean, what do you mean?
He got better as the year went on.
But he got better.
No, the answer is no. If you guys are saying Cam can't throw now, then Josh Allen couldn't throw last year.
But isn't there a difference between a 10-year veteran and a 2-year veteran?
No, there is. But Dale said if you can't throw, you can't win. It's like, well, they made the playoffs. They won 10 games. So, I mean, you
but
can.
But he threw better as that year went on. Like, he didn't throw picks.
He never had a 300-yard passing game.
No.
All
but
season. He made it through a whole year without doing it.
Okay, so?
So, my point is, they didn't throw the ball very
well. Were they
last
good?
Year.
Like, when I say
they won
you 10 can't
games,
win,
they went to the playoffs.
Playoffs doesn't matter.
They probably should have won a playoff game, to be honest.
When I'm saying, like, the year the Patriots, ran the running game, and yet they needed Kansas City, L.A. in the Super Bowl, like, they needed passing plays. That's what I'm talking about. Like, in the end, some point, if you want to finish the deal, beat good teams.
But what quarterback?
Like, we've seen it this year. If they could throw the ball this year, they'd have more wins because the game was on the line and it was winnable.
Outside of Mahomes, Wilson, and Rodgers, what quarterback do you think could come in here and throw for 300 a game?
300 a game?
Yeah.
None.
Okay. So you have to take
200 for a game.
How about more touchdowns than interceptions?
Yeah, okay, fine. It's a shorter sample, but whatever. No, but I think everybody's like, oh, Cam can't throw, he can't throw, he can't throw. It's like, all right, well, he's also probably the second best running quarterback in the league. So that's not nothing. Like, that does count. He has 5 rushing touchdowns. Like, that is something that they're going to have to use, because guess what? They don't have a goal line back.
So you'd take him over Murray? I'm assuming you're saying Lamar is the best running quarterback.
No, I guess he's third. It's different. It's more of a power kind of run. It's different
instead
than Murray
of little
and Jackson.
Cartoon Fred Flintstone. Gotta go.
All right, so I'd probably maybe third then. I'd have him third.
It looks like the legs are spinning.
I love it. I love it. Even my wife,
he's
I don't think she'd seen him play. She watched. She goes, who's that little guy? He seems fun.
He is fun.
He is. He's a fun little player. And then you and I talked about it. Then you look at the final stats and you go, oh, he went 9 of 24.
He completed 9 passes. He scored 38 points. He completed 9 passes.
It's funny how, like, your visualization and the scoreboard
doesn't
can affect you, and then you're like, wow, you look at those stats, it's not quite as good as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Danny's next. Hey, Danny, how you doing?
Danny!
Hey, guys.
Hi. What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
Super.
Love the show. Anyways, was just wondering your thoughts on Damir Byrne.
Meh.
I think he's fine.
Yeah. I think we said the same thing.
I think he's fine.
He's a good four, except he's a one.
And unfortunately for you, he's your best wide receiver.
And I don't know that he's
the good news is he's your best wide receiver. The bad news is he's your best wide receiver.
Right. And he's in that.
He's
playing
on the field
96% of the snaps or whatever.
He never comes off the field.
Feels like Butler in the Super Bowl. He played 96% of the snaps and
then
never played
disappeared.
Again. And I don't know. I don't believe talent-wise he's your best receiver. I think he's just sort of out there a lot. They're throwing to him some. Like,
he seems to know where to line up. He catches it when he's open and when it's thrown to him.
But even then, I continue to say he has some weirdness, like the little punch-out fumble the other day, or double catches, or doesn't come back for the underthrown ball. It's not ideal. Like, I don't feel like I can trust him. I don't feel like I can say he's going to catch. Even, like, 4 passes a game. I don't even feel like I can say he's going to be a guy I can lean on over the long haul.
How about 3? He's good for 3 grabs a game.
I don't feel like I can count on him when I need him. Like, even if you said, and that's where he's a little like Dorsett over the years. Dorsett would catch. Remember, he had like 21 straight catches. Every time he was targeted, he caught it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Edelman's hurt. you know, we're going to have to lean on Dorsett tonight, and he would go like 2 of 12 targets. No, it just wouldn't work.
He should never be the first option on any play.
And Cam never gets to the second, so.
Correct. So he's got more catches than he should have.
Rich Keefe and Chris Scheim will fix your fantasy football team coming up next. Ooh. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
He's gonna give you what you need to know. Talk about who you gotta start, who you gotta say, gotta let go. When you be like, whoop, whoop, you doing so good, gonna win your league. But you gotta listen to Rich Keefe.
And Shine Time.
In the fantasy breeze. Rich Keefe is playing like John Clayton up inside the huddle. And he's got an intimate knowledge of the fantasy game. Like he and Matthew Berry like to cuddle. If your team got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Winston Wolf for this fantasy gauntlet. So pretty pleased with sugar on it. Check out the hook walk.
Shine.
He's gonna could give you the info you desire. Who to claim from the waiver wire? So your lineup game is on fire. Put them on the board. Championship. You're definitely gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Rich Keefe.
And Shine Time.
Fin the fantasy. Brief.
The whole thing about you and Matthew Berry cuddling is just
the guy knows his fantasy, Dale. He's made quite a career out of fantasy and cameos in Marvel movies as well.
Matthew Berry's in Marvel movies?
Yeah, he was in Endgame.
Huh, didn't know that.
He was in Endgame. Shime, one name we forgot on the brand new edition of Waiver Wire Wednesday with Fitzy.
Oversight by us.
But go grab Antonio Brown if
Stash
he is available.
Him if you have the space.
Yes, absolutely. I went to do it actually this morning in my league. Already owned.
Can confirm.
Watch him do it. Somebody beat me to it. So grab Antonio Brown. He is eligible for whatever team he goes to, their ninth game. So that's coming right up. And if it's Seattle, you're going to want him.
What if you already own, hypothetically, DK Metcalf?
I think they'll still be
is
fine.
Is that a smart move?
And I think, by the way, he can't play till the 10th game, just based on the COVID-19 rules. He's suspended for 8. Then supposedly there's another week involved,
like quarantine and testing and all that stuff. Yeah, there is definitely.
It's why Le'Veon Bell couldn't play for Kansas City.
So perfect for your playoff run.
Playoff run, yep. Antonio Brown. It's worth a shot. Shyam, so we're going to do something a little bit different. This go around, we are. Correct.
We are going to basically, for all you DFS players, and DFS stands for Daily Fantasy Sports. For all you DFS players out there, we're going to be building you the $1 million lineup this week that you want to play DFS leagues.
You want $1 million?
I want $1 million. You want a million bucks?
We're going to win you $1 million.
He gets all of it?
Yeah, no, we're going to split it.
Yeah, it's split down the middle.
We're going to split this puppy right down the middle. So
you heard the intro. It's Keefe and Chime.
Yeah.
Well, it's
and Chime.
It's Keefe.
And Chime.
And Chime. All right, who is the – again, this is a salary cap, so you can't just take whoever you want. You got to fit it within the budget. Shyam, who are we taking at quarterback?
So quarterback this week, we always look for a team that has terrible pass defense. And a high-flying team facing a bad defense this week is the Arizona Cardinals going up against the Seattle Seahawks. Expect a ton of points in that game. So we're riding with Kyler Murray, who's probably going to throw for a ton of yards. And on top of that, Kyler Murray, big with the rushing touchdowns and rushing yards, which is always a great bonus.
And if Cam Newton can throw for 400 against Seattle, Kyler Murray's going to throw for 800. Right,
probably.
That's what Dale and Andy would say.
There's probably 1,000 points going to get scored in this game.
I think there's going to be a lot of points.
I thought the Chiefs were going to, you know, put 600 yards up against Buffalo too. They didn't have to. They just ran for 250.
That's a whole bunch. But you can throw on Seattle, and that's why, Shyam. Before we even get to our running backs, let's go ahead and put the old Stack-a-Rooney.
Ooh, nice little Stack-a-Reno.
DeAndre Hopkins, best wide receiver in football until Antonio Brown gets signed. And Seattle has given up more points to wide receivers than anybody else in the entire league. Now, he is dealing with a little bit of an injury.
Little ankle injury.
Didn't practice yesterday. Oh. So before you set your lineup, you obviously want to make sure he's a go. It's a 4
o'clock
game on
Sunday. $1 million
Yeah. You do. It's $1 million, but you can't not have him in there. Yes, everybody will probably have Hopkins in there, but you can't be the one that doesn't have him because against Seattle, he could have a monster game.
And so our second receiver we're going to go with, we're actually going to go with Kenny Golladay for Detroit. Boy. They're taking on Atlanta. Atlanta has been putrid this year in the pass defense. Again, high-flying offensive powerhouse. Well, not really powerhouse in the Lions, but powerhouse receiver taking on a really bad Atlanta defense. So we're going to go with Kenny Golladay.
I know what you're thinking. You're saying Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Kenny Golladay. Those guys cost a lot of money. So you need somebody that costs not a lot of money.
On the cheap.
And here we go with a certain Tim Patrick.
Oh.
We all saw him firsthand against the Patriots. He had a 100-yard game. Drew Locke is back. And give me Tim Patrick to have a nice game taking on Kansas City. a team that, again, you can give up some points.
You're going to have to throw against them, though.
And you're going to be chasing.
You're probably going to be down, so I think Tim Patrick could be a nice play.
Tim Patrick's nice, too, because he's had 14 or more points in three straight games, so I kind of expect that to continue,
like
which is
that.
Great. So to our running backs, our first running back we're going to take, this is a pretty easy one. We're taking Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, one of the best running backs in the league. He scores touchdowns at a ridiculous rate. I think Green Bay bounces back after a tough week against Tampa Bay last week. They're taking on Houston this week. Houston, not very good.
No,
so we're
going
to take Aaron Jones.
All right, a little bit lower on the running back list, we're going to go with Antonio Gibson, he of the football team, as they are taking on the Cowboys. Dallas gives up the eighth most fantasy points to running backs. That one could be, again, an ugly NFC East type matchup, but give me Antonio Gibson.
So we've been spending a lot of money so far on our team, so we got to really kind of budget it out on these last
three
picks.
Wait till you hear this tight end.
So we're going to tight end. We're going really kind of bottom of the barrel. But if Jonnu Smith is still kind of injured, he's either limited or doesn't play, Anthony Firkser is the guy to go to in Tennessee, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're going to go with Firkser. Very, very cheap tight end here, bottom of the barrel.
Uh-huh. And he's what did he do last week? Last week he actually had a monster performance.
Yeah, 28 points.
Yeah, 28 points. He had 113 yards and a touchdown on 8 catches. So he was a monster last week, but he's still cheap in fantasy. And then to round out our lineup, Shime, we need both a flex and a defense.
That is correct. As our defense, we're going to be using the Los Angeles Chargers. They're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars this week.
Mm-hmm.
After a hot start for the Jaguars, they have since very much been who we thought they were, and they kind of stink. So we're going to ride with the Chargers defense here. And then, Keith, you have our flex guy.
Our flex guy, we're going to go with Mike Williams. Same game, going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Williams, I think, is one of these good guys for daily fantasy because it can be a bit of a boom or a bust, right?
And you got 30 points against New Orleans in their last game.
You need some boomers. And he had 2 touchdowns against the Saints. They had the bye week this past week, so look for him. You need him to get in the end zone, but that's the kind of flyer that we
I think Justin Herbert just trusts Mike Williams now. If you watched that New Orleans game, he is just totally willing to drop back and just let loose no matter where Mike Williams is in the field and let Mike Williams go make the play. And now Mike Williams is one of the few guys in the league that averages like 20 yards per catch sometimes.
Yeah, he's a big-bodied receiver.
He's huge, and he's just a physical guy. He'll go up and get the football, so I like that.
And lastly, Shime, on Thursday Night Football, Week 7 kicks off tonight, Giants and Eagles. Neither team is very good.
This is an ugly game.
Eagles are favored by 4.5 at home. Of course, no Miles Sanders, no Zach Ertz, and the over-under is 45. Do you like any of those?
I'm actually going to take the Giants getting 4.5 points. Yeah. I think this is very similar game to what you saw last week. Giants and the
football
Washington
team.
Football team.
Yeah.
Giants eke away a win with a point. They could have lost by a point there. Either way, I think it's like a field goal game. It's going to be ugly. I do kind of expect Travis Fulgham to have a decent day, but outside of that, and maybe even Darius Slayton has a couple decent catches.
All right. There you go.
That's the fantasy football update for all of you guys. They have not only have they saved your franchises, they've made you $1 million this week.
$1 million.
Well, they give.
You couldn't
put it
thank
in your
us
pockets.
Enough.
If
could
you all play this team,
we'll have
can't
to split.
All win.
Might be split up a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's still going to get a lot of money.
Take a chance.
And still no Patriots in any of these fantasy advisories.
That's correct.
I kind of need it after
we know
the picks
what we're doing.
I've been making.
We'll turn our attention to the World Series when we come back. It's Dale and Keith with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.